I do get nervous from time to time, and I don't normally get nervous when I'm sharing God's word. But I do feel a bit nervous today because there's a message on my heart that I want to bring out, I want to deliver, and sometimes what's in here doesn't always come out of what's in here the right way. So I trust that you will get my heart and what I'm trying to say. And I had the privilege of meeting some friends this week, a couple that I used to go home group with. And the message that I want to share, when I look at some of my friends, when I look at some Christians that I've known for many years, and I look in my own life, there's areas that I've been robbed. I don't know about you. There's areas that I've been robbed. And I have a lot of scripture today, and I don't know if I'll get through it, so I'll try and finish in an appropriate way where I can take it on next time I minister. But I just want to share this portion of scripture with you. The message today is following on from last week, and this question has been on my heart. Have you been robbed of something that God has given you? And only you know that. Have you been robbed? And my first question I have down here is to do with examining yourself. And that's in Corinthians 2:13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Now that seems to be an extreme. But this is what the word says. You need to examine yourselves. Test yourselves, it says. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. And sometimes we need to realise that we do have an enemy that whispers in our ears, who do you think you are? You're not good enough for this. You know, do you really think that God can use you? God doesn't tempt us, but there are tests throughout Scripture to see if we're who the Bible says we are. Now, we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. There may be times in our lives that we think we haven't quite got where we believe God wants us to go, but God is for us. And if he is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? And in Scripture, we need to understand who our enemy is. In John 8:44, it says, he's just talking of Jesus' words here, you belong to the father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Now, that's not us, the church, but that is those that Jesus was talking to. But it says this, he was a murderer from the beginning, talking about Satan, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he was a liar and the father of lies. So we need to understand who our enemy is. The Bible says our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. It's not about you and me. Our fight isn't against us, is it? It's not even against those that we would see as our enemies in the flesh. It's the spiritual realm. So when I look at this whole subject, have I been robbed? Have you been robbed? There's some things I want to talk about. I was saying to someone today, there's a pendulum in our lives. And sometimes we can be so used to the pendulum being off kilter that way that we, instead of coming centre, we can go the other way. We can do something that's off kilter in the other way. Have you been robbed is my question in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, says this. These are the things you are to teach and insist on it. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife. Malicious talk, evil suspicions. constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Been robbed of the truth. And there's times where in our lives, if we're not careful, we can be robbed of something simple, which is the truth. Remember in the beginning in Genesis, as it did God really say? You know, and there'll be times where you'll be challenged. Did God really say? We're living in an age which, when we look through Scripture, it tells us what's going to happen. People will take what's good and turn it into bad, and what's bad, turn it into good. And there are things that we know to be true, yet the world around us try to tell us that they're not true. And if we're not careful as Christians, we can be robbed of the truth. We can be robbed of the truth. In Acts 26, there's a song that they used to sing when I had the privilege of being in America in Brownsville, Pensacola. It was dubbed as a revival. You can only revive something that is dead, and the Holy Spirit was much alive. Now, don't get me wrong, the further we go down to what man does, there's corruption, but there's also truth within that. And there was a song they would say, look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body. He's cleansed my mind. He saved me just in time. And it says, starts off, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins, a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus says. Sometimes the enemy will come and try and rob us of the fundamental truth of who we are. We've been saved. We're sinners, yes, but saved by grace. And it's by grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. In Acts 20, 32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. And sometimes we can forget about that word. Grace, undeserved favor. We can't earn it, but we need to receive it. You know, and the enemy will come along and tell us that you need to earn this, you need to do that, you need to be better at that, and rob us of our peace when we're in that place of safety and security. That's the time the enemy comes along to rob, steal and destroy. So we need to understand who our enemy is. We need to understand what it is he's taken from us before we can realise that we've even been robbed. I mean, if you was to go into my daughter's bedroom as a child, you wouldn't know if anything had been taken. You'd be going, someone's broken in and messed the bedroom up. You wouldn't know. Sorry, Karis, if you listen to this. You wouldn't know that anything had been stolen. Because it's organised chaos. And there are times in our lives we become so familiar with something that we don't even realise it's gone. Until God shows us that it's gone. That, why am I reacting this way to this situation? I can do all things through Christ. But the enemy has come and stolen that bit of your life, come and stolen that part of your health. It says this, which can build you up, that's the grace, that can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Now, in the natural, there are men, women that will inherit something that has been left to them by a parent or a loved one. But we have an inheritance too as the children of God. He's given us an inheritance. And if we're not careful, we can allow the enemy to come in and steal part of that inheritance. No, that belongs to me. And there's a claim that we need to put on it. So I want to encourage us as we look at this word. You know, where are we going to put our confidence? We have an inheritance. We need to be a people that will lay hold of that truth. Where do we put our confidence? In Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord? Well, then you're blessed. Whose confidence is in him. Where's our confidence? It's in him. They will be like a tree planted. Just listen to this. It's like poetry. And if you grab hold of what it says, you can truly feed on it. It says this, they will be like a tree planted by water. That sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Why? Glad you asked. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Why? Because the roots go down into the soil where there is moisture. You see, when the Lord calls, he sustains you. But I want to suggest that there may be people in this room or listening to this word that have been robbed of what God has for us. Now, the story that I want to bring is this, and this is why I say I'm not sure if I'll get through this message, but we do have another hour, so we're okay. Did I say that out loud? In 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, David and his men reach Ziklag. How many of you have read this portion of scripture? It's all about David going back to Ziklag. Now, just get the picture of this. I haven't got time to read all of the scripture around it. I haven't got time to go into it. But David got so disillusioned, so heartbroken, so fed up of running from Saul, that he went to the enemy's camp to find peace and security. And sometimes in our Christian lives, may I suggest that the world gets so messy around us, sometimes some people find themselves in the enemy's camp because it seems quieter there. It seems that you don't have no hassle there. It seems that people don't come after you for something there. And one of the reasons is because the enemy wants to convince you that you are blessed being with him, that you don't need to have fellowship. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to give your finances to a ministry. That you are safe and secure in the enemy's camp. And what happens in life, and it does happen, you feel fitter and healthier and you seem to have more finances. And suddenly you've got time for the hobbies that you've always wanted. And yet, you're in the enemy's camp and you don't know you're there. And David became very familiar. He even tried to convince the king that he was on his side, that he was a mighty warrior and he could go out to battle. But there were men amongst the king's men that didn't trust David. And they refused to let him go and fight with them. So they sent him back. And he went back to Ziklag. Ziklag was a place, a portion of land that had been given to David to build community, to strengthen himself, to build his family, to bring his family up, to see his flocks and his herds increase. And when he got there, if you read this portion of scripture, you will find that it was desolate. It was burned to a crisp. Everything he owned had been taken. Everything that David owned and held dear, including his wives and his children, his livestock, his livelihood had been taken. And it says in this portion of scripture that David, bear in mind that David was in a foreign land and he was in the enemy's camp. And at that moment, he'd lost his strength. He began to weep. And then it says, David inquired of the Lord. He took the ephod, which was a representation of his prayer life and God and the tribes of Israel on the shoulders, representing through the stones. Just read all around that portion of scripture, you'll understand that he was greatly distressed, it says in verse 6. The men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and his daughters. But David found strength where? In the Lord his God. You know, God doesn't leave us, but we can sometimes leave him. David's hand was always able to stretch out and touch God's hand. And not so, our friends. Our hearts are always ready, and God is always able to receive it if we will stretch out to him. So in this portion of scripture, it says David went to the enemy's camp and he took back what they stole from him. But there's two or three things that we need to understand through this picture. Is one, that David found himself in the enemy's camp himself. He had made decisions in his own life that put him in that position. And there are times where we are robbed of our peace and we're robbed of our health and we're robbed of our finances. We're robbed of things and we can feel disheartened or disillusioned. Or is that only me? We can feel unwary of well-doing. Yet the Bible says, do not become weary of well-doing. How do we counteract that, doing what David did here. He found strength in the Lord. Lord, unless you build the house, we can't build it. Lord, unless you strengthen me, I won't be strong. Lord, will you speak to me afresh? You know, I want to bring this message because on the back of, there are things that we've been robbed in church of, and I've seen them spiritually, naturally, physically, emotionally. I've seen things with my eyes, and I've met people recently, and it saddens me to say they have been robbed of God's best. These are men and women, good, godly men and women that have got to a point where they've maybe said to themselves, what's the point? The more I pray, the worse I become. But there is a point of breakthrough, and David had to hit rock bottom. Now, that's very apt that we had that picture of a rock, a solid rock on there. Because it's not until you reach rock bottom that you have something solid on which to build on. Nothing is wasted. And that solid rock is that foundation that the Bible talks about. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. So David hit rock bottom. His men want to stone him. And then it says he found strength in the Lord, and goes on in this scripture to say that he went back into the enemy's camp and he took back everything. Everything and more. And there's a time that we need to understand. And you may not be in this position. You might know someone else who's in this position. You may be in this position in the future. So it's a message that may not resonate with you. It may speak to someone who's listening to this online. Or it may be something that God reminds you of in the future. That there's a time where David had to get to that position where he realized where his strength came from. That he was taken back to the times when he was a shepherd boy, when he was in the field and he would dream and he would see visions. And when the bear came along, spiritually flicked the bear and defeated, and the lion. And when Goliath stood in front of him as that giant, he stood as this mighty man of valor that the Bible talks about. He may have been smaller in stature, but he was bigger in heart because he knew who his God was. And for us, if we get to a point where we can realize that something has been stolen from us, whatever that may be, it may be different for you than it is for me, then maybe my suggestion is this: now is the time to take it back. Now is the time to strengthen ourselves in the Lord and say, Father, show me, equip me, anoint me, enable me. How many times do we preach to ourselves where we say, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world? And do we believe it? And then we can say, no weapon forged against us will prosper. Do we believe it? And if we don't, I suggest then we've been robbed. If there are things that you can look back at and say, well, that used to happen. They're the things I used to do when I was a young Christian. God would speak to me. There are people in this room, and I know this because I've been on the other side of a word in season. The Lord is saying, I believe. I met with a lovely, godly couple last week, and won't mention the lady's name because I've asked her to listen to this. And she said, Andrew, I'm empty. I don't even know if I have enough faith to carry on. And then we prayed together. And at the end of that prayer, I'm about to walk out, and she says, oh, hang on a minute. I have this picture that the Lord has given me. You see how exciting that is? She thought she was dry, but she wasn't. She thought she was empty, but she isn't. You see, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And all we need sometimes is the ruach of God, the breath of God to come in. The breath of God to refresh us. I'm enjoying this. I hope you are. Have you been robbed? Well, now is the time to take it back. But you need to understand two things. One, you need to want it back. And two, you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord before you go get it. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. This is a prayer for us as a church. This is something that we can say through his Spirit in your inner being. So pray that his power comes through his Spirit in your inner being. There's a connection. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. Maybe you've just been robbed of that. You don't feel loved. Well, God loves you. How do I know he loves you? Because I know he showed me how much he loves you. He loves you this much. That he hung on a cross and died for you. And to know this love, not just to know about it, but to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That you, this is you, may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Not just half measure, but all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. More than we ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us. Within us. So I believe there are Christian men and women that have been robbed from that, of that truth. Robbed of that truth, that power, that dunamis lives within us. And the reason I say that is because I'll just use myself as an example. I was born again, spirit-filled into a charismatic church, a Pentecostal church, and that's all I knew as I was growing up. And then I got into God's word and I could see the good, the bad and the ugly, and I could remove the ugly and just feed on the good. But occasionally there was the bad. There was a misrepresentation of God's word as I grew up. There were things that I could see that it was the desire of man to do it, and the humanness came in. But when I could let all that go, throw it all up in the air and let the wind of the Spirit blow the chaff and see the goodness of God's word, I could see the truth of what God was saying. And there was situations in my life growing up that I had faith to believe that the dead would be raised. Faith to believe that nothing is impossible for God's people. That I am the head and not the tail. I had faith for that. And then over the period of time, you get worn down and worn down. And if you're not careful, you can stray into the enemy's camp. Because it's safer there at times. But it isn't. Because if you stay in the enemy's camp, when God comes back for his church, you're going to be scorched. It says this, finally be strong in the Lord and mighty in power. Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We're already being told that the devil is a schemer. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and against the powers of this dark age, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's things we can't see, but they're happening around us. You see, as a young Christian, as a Christian that was hungry for God's word, I would listen to his word. It was bought for me on tape. That's how old I am. A little recorder that I would plug in when I went to work and listen to the Bible day after day after day after day till I was saturated. I'd go to sleep with the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. I understood it. I could see it. I could taste it. And I was a man of great faith. And then, just as he gives us that parable of the sower, then the worries and the troubles of this world came in and started to suck the life out of me. And then I would go back to church on a Sunday and there'd be like someone with a foot pump, and that'd blow me back up again spiritually. But you know what happens when we remove ourselves from God's people? We become cold. When we remove ourselves from faithful people, we become cold. When we start to say to ourselves that that's okay, God knows, I don't need to operate in that power anymore. I don't need to prophesy. I don't need to lay hands on the sick. God knows, he can do that. He can send somebody else. You are being robbed of something. Did God say something to you some years ago? And has it come to pass? If it hasn't, may I suggest that he still wants to do a work in you? Let's go back to the enemy's camp and let's take back what he stole from us. There are circumstances and situations in all our lives. And I guarantee that most of us, maybe that's a strong word, guarantee, I suggest that most of us can identify with something that we can say, yeah, I've been robbed of that. God said that I will have good health. I've been robbed of that. God said that he will look after me. He said that if I sow into his storehouse, there'll be enough for me and mine. You've been robbed of that. He's told me that there is a peace that transcends all understanding. yeah, I've been robbed of that. He's told me that I can do all things through his strength. Yeah, I've been robbed of that. It talks about it in Isaiah 61. It says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. What will they do? Restore. Restoration. The places that have been devastated. So it doesn't matter how long this has been going on that we've been robbed. We can take them back. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. This is in Isaiah 61, and this whole portion is really dear to me, but it's talking about God's people. It's talking about restoration. You see, when we look through the Bible, bad things happen to good people, but sometimes good people do bad things. They stray into the enemy's camp and then wonder why their fingers are being burned. They stray into the enemy's camp and wonder why the peace is gone. They stray into the enemy's camp because this is what the enemy does. You know, you look through some of the old programs on TV, Pinocchio comes to mind. It all looks good until you're in their clutches. Not everything that glitters, they say, is gold. And we go into the enemy's camp and to start with, we feel peaceful. We feel wealthier because we don't have to sow our money into kingdom. And there are people that have wandered away from the truth. And they've wandered straight into the enemy's camp and they don't know they're there. But maybe if they hear this message, they'll understand. Just like the prodigal or the son would say, I want my inheritance, but I want it now. And then the story says he went off and he squandered it. It was his. He could do with what he wanted. But he got to a point that portion of scripture says he got to a point where he looked at his surroundings. And he realized he was in the enemy's camp. He was in the pig pen. I have a father at home. And even those that work for him get treated better than I do. And he realized, and I'm paraphrasing here and adding things. And it doesn't say this in scripture, but it implies it. He looked around while he stood in the enemy's camp. He stood in a place where he should never have been. He had an inheritance. And it was far bigger than the one that he thought he had. He had an inheritance because it was continually being built with his father and his family. And it says, coming to his senses, he stepped out of the pig pen and he went home. So what did he do? He had to get to a point where he realized he was in the wrong place, serving the wrong person. So you cannot have two masters. Salt water and fresh water cannot flow from the same stream, the Bible says. You're either for me or you're against me, Jesus says. So he got to a point where he came to his senses. And for want of this message, he realized he was in the enemy's camp and he went back. See, what did his father do? His father was praying him back. His father was there ready with the fattened calf. He was there ready with the robe. And scripture talks about that robe of righteousness. You know, there's nothing you can do that to make God love you any less or any more. But there is a time that we need to understand that if we venture into the enemy's camp, we need to get to a point where we come out, but then we need to take back what he's stolen from us. Because if you look at that picture, and it's not on my scriptural list, but if you look at that picture of the prodigal, he didn't go round to all those people that had duped him and all those loose women that he'd paid. He didn't go back and say, can I have my inheritance back because I'm taking it? He'd given it, he'd squandered it, but spiritually there is an inheritance that we have a right to and the enemy has no right to it. And it's for us to realize it and go back and take it back. I'm taking back my inheritance. I'm taking back that peace that God gave me. I'm taking back that finance that God gave me. I'm taking back that health that God promised me. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, when we look in Nehemiah, this is Nehemiah 4. He became angry. And he was greatly incensed. And he ridiculed the Jews in the presence of his accusers and the army of Samaria. He said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring these stones back to life? From those heaps of rubble, burned as they are. And sometimes well-meaning people will come around us and say, well, you don't need to worry about that. There was, I won't mention names, and I hope Susan don't mind me saying this, too late now. There was a time Susan had suffered through pregnancy, and she had lots of things going on, and she was very ill. And on the outside, she looked very ill. She didn't look the picture of life that most people say, oh, when you're pregnant, you just glow. No, Susan didn't glow. And a Christian said to her, your child is probably going to be born deformed. Christian, something like that. Am I right? Really? Fortunately, the faith that was in my wife was greater than that faith of that person. Now, they meant well, but they were looking with their natural eyes. Can you see how easy it is for the enemy to rob us? I'm not saying that this lady was demonic. I'm just saying the words that she used was unhelpful. Can you see how easy it is to be ridiculed? Will they really? Will that child really be born? Is God really going to bless them? Will they restore their wall from the heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And as Arthur said the other week, they had to clear the rubble away in order to find the foundation. But let me go one step further. Not only do we have to clear the rubble away to see the foundation, that solid rock to build upon, what did Nehemiah use to rebuild the wall? I'll tell you. He used the rubble. He used the good parts of the broken wall to restore into a new wall. And God will take the broken parts of your life and he'll make them into something that will stand. Not only stand, but last. But there are times that we have bits of our wall, if you want to use that metaphor, missing. And we need to go back to the enemy's camp and take it. We need to realize that he's given us a measure of faith. How many of us used to come to church and they'd be in worship and would be singing and clapping? They used to call us the happy clappies. Yeah? Why? Because we was happy. And we clapped. And the pendulum swings so far over here that we're in church sometimes and we're happy and we're clapping and there's something, ooh, I don't know if that's quite biblical, and then we don't clap anymore. We're still happy. But the joy is on the inside, it's not being expressed on the outside. Why? Because we're being robbed. Because the pendulum has swung over here. Because we want to make sure that we don't bring other people into disrepute. That we don't lead them down an alleyway where they're so full of faith in church that when they get into reality, oh, life is not as good. But it is. See, that's a lie of the enemy, and we need to go back and take what has been stolen from us. But we need to understand what it is that's been stolen first. In Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The fear of the Lord, you, his holy people. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. Lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You see, there's always a restriction on some of the things that God says. It says, if you want to walk in forgiveness, then what do you need to do? Forgive. But the enemy will come and rob you of that thought, and he'll say, well, they deserve it. They deserve that. They deserve what you said to them. They deserve that heckle in church. They deserve it. And then God says, no, listen, don't let the enemy rob you of that. You're in control of your tongue. You're in control of the circumstances and situations. He that is in you, remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Don't let the enemy rob you. If he has, the message today is go back and take it. Go back and take it. Don't allow the enemy to rob you any longer. in Romans 12 verse 5, and I only have two scriptures left and we have 10 minutes. How blessed are we? So in Christ, let's have a look. So in Christ, we though many form one body. We though many form one body. You know, when we look through what God is doing in us and through us, I thought there was more to it. Verse 6. Let's start at verse 4. For just as each of us have one body with many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so in Christ there are many that form one body. And that's what we call ourselves here. We're individual members, but we form one body. Each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, God can rob you. Just in that small sentence there, you can go, well, I don't have those gifts. And the enemy can say, no, because you're not clever enough. You're not tall enough. You're not smart enough. You're not discerning enough. You're not righteous enough. Grace given to each one of us is a gift that's been given to each one of us. We don't have to earn it. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in according with your faith. Lord, increase my faith so that my gift will increase. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, God has given you a gift. Don't allow the enemy to rob you any longer. Go back and get it. And that's not for me to tell you what that gift is. God will reveal that to you. In 1 Corinthians, verse 7, it says this: now, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, when we start to look at these spiritual gifts, this is what I mean by being robbed. This is really the crux of my message, apart from the zigzag with David going back and strengthening himself in the Lord and saying, no, I'm taking it back. This is the pendulum. In church, you know, if you've been born again into a spiritual church, in the sense that we believe in the grace gifts, we believe in the spiritual empowerment of God's people, yes? We believe in the signs and the wonders and the miracles. We believe that God is the same yesterday, today and forever. That what he did then, he can do now, and he can use me and he can use you. And some of us have been in a situation where we've seen that perverted. It's gone too far. And we've listened to the evangelistic man or woman that says, if you sow $1,000 into my ministry, God will heal your son. Trash. Right? In the sense, that's not truth. You don't need to buy God's gifts. You can't buy God's gifts. They're given. They're grace. And we've seen that perversion. And what we've done, I'm not going to allow myself to be influenced by that anymore. So you come over and you miss the center and you come over this way and you stop praying for people. You stop believing that God can heal them. You stop coming into church going, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to put on that garment of praise. I feel like I can't accomplish anything but he that is in me. And I'm going to do that. Why? Because God has said it. Is it just me that likes his word? God has said it. So if God has said it, he will accomplish it. Who will he accomplish it through? You. And I know I'm not going to look at people because I tend to stare. But I know there are men and women in this building today that God has used to usher in great change. He has answered prayer. I am here as pastor of this church because there is at least two men in this room that said, did God say it? Then he'll do it. And I'm in this position because of that. So I know God uses us, but I also believe that the enemy's robbed us of that faith. He's robbed us of that truth. We can, if we're not careful, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. But I'm just going to use myself. I try not to get too excited because I want it to be real. I want it to be God that moves in my life. It says this. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation. You know, if God gives you a gift that will speak into someone's life, it's his gift. He owns it, but he's given you the manifestation. of the Spirit given for the common good. What's it for the common good? It's to build up, not to tear down. If you ever say anything to someone that pulls them down, then maybe that's not of God. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. These are spiritual gifts that I believe the church is being robbed of. I believe that some of you and me, I'm being robbed of them, but I'm taking them back. I hope you will too. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith. That's not saving faith, because we all have saving faith. This is something else. This is a dunamis. This is a dynamite of faith that if God says it, I'm going to believe it. By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different languages, different tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. You know, there are times where we can physically be present but not spiritually. And I want to suggest that, Emma, I'll call our team back. I want to suggest that there are things in the life of a church that we've been robbed of. And if that's you, if you identify with anything, small, large, medium, in between, then go back and take it, because it's your inheritance. It's your birthright. You were born again into the Spirit of the Lord. All things are possible. It's your birthright. But can God use me? Yes, He can. Has He said it to you? Then He'll accomplish it. It says this in Joel 2:25. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. The great locust and the young locust and the other locust and the swarm, the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. The point is this, is talking about crops. This is talking about renewing everything that the locusts have eaten in the natural. And I want to use this portion of scripture because the truth is still the same. That God says He will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. He will give you back what was robbed from you. But we need to know what it is that's missing. As I said, you walk into my daughter's room and you think someone's robbed it. There's been a burglar. But unless you know what's missing, you can't ask for it back. So you pray, say, Lord, what is it that I've been robbed for? Let's close and pray now, or else I continue. Father, we thank You that You are ultimately in control. And Lord, we want to go to the enemy's camp and we're going to take back what he stole from us. We want our peace. We want our health. We want our finances. We want those spiritual gifts that You've endowed us with. We want the ability, Father God, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We want to be in church where the joy of the Lord is our strength. We want to be those happy clappies. We will be someone that will not be afraid to dance and be undignified. We want to be that church that will dare to believe the best is yet to come. We want to be that church that will lay out more chairs believing people will come, that they will invest in the classrooms realizing that children and families will come. We want to be that church that would say this is who we are, where we are and what we believe, believing that we can make a difference. Why? Because You live in us. So Father God, this day would You strengthen us, encourage us and enable us for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. Amen.